It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is Campfire Talk time, and Mr. Larry Wysoon, our buddy, is with us to talk about some hunting. A lot of fun stuff coming up. Larry, thank you, man, for being with me.
As I've said so very often, this is one of the favorite things I get to do every week, Luke. I really enjoy the time I get to spend around Campfire with you and all of our listeners as well, too.
You bet. Well, it's a fun time and really a fun segment of our show. I always look forward to this. You're out today, I think, on your property, trying to get you a little bit of a long range shooting situation set up, right?
You're right. I've got a little range set up, but I'm trying to get it to where I'm not a long range hunting proponent, but just got a really nice 300 PRC Ruger number one, and I've got a hunt coming up later on in Alberta where there might be an opportunity to take a long shot. So I'm trying to extend my range to where I feel taking a shot if I needed to. If there's no way to get closer out to about 500. So that's kind of my goal for the day. And once I get that thing completed, I've got a hunt coming up here pretty quickly, actually, with Greg Simons as well, our systems for pronghorn antelope. And I've got a 280 Remington Ruger number one with a brand new Trigicon scope that, I got to do something with you pretty quickly in the next day or two to get ready for the hunt with Greg.
You know, it's handy, Larry, just to have a spot to shoot. I know a lot of our friends listening will agree with this. I've got a buddy down the slough. Parson Slough runs down from my house and down to his property, and he is a shooter, Kenneth Shepherd, but he's got him a really nice shooting range set up just for friends and family, you know. But of course, shooting a bow or an air rifles that I shoot, I've got a place here on my little 4.5 acres where I can shoot them, you know. But
perfect.
It's nice to early at daylight this morning, I was down at Kenneth's place and getting ready for this muzzleloader mule deer hunt.
Next week's show,
I tell you what, I think it'll work out time wise where we can talk about mule deer up there and then your pronghorn, your antelope hunt out in West Texas, you know. But I haven't shot my muzzleloader in a couple of years. I just I love to shoot muzzleloaders, and with the clean burning powders today, Larry, it's not near as tough to keep them clean. Chris Hodgson sent me you know what I'm talking about.
What do I ever?
Yes, I know you do. Chris Hodgson sent me some. It's actually 777 pellets. Two pellets equals 100 grains. You know,
right.
Volumetric measure, I guess it is. But anyway, two pellets is 100 grains. Now these. They're called Firestart, and I think they're a brand-new product for Hodgdon powder. 777's been around forever, you know.
Right,
But these things, Larry, they have grooves, longitudinal grooves on the pellets, and it just makes sense that it's called Firestart. So it just makes sense to me that 209 shotgun primer, when it fires that blast up in there, it's you can tell it's almost instantaneous now when it goes off.
Yeah, I can see where that the increased surface would make that powder make it burn a whole lot faster. That's interesting.
It is.
I mean, you know, years ago people started occasionally fluting barrels, and you know, some thought it was for this or that, but it actually kind of did two things. It kind of decreased the weight of the barrel. And it also increased the stiffness, if you will, by increasing the surface, the amount of surface that's there. So, you know, it makes sense when you think about the fire starter from Hodgson doing the exact same thing. It just makes that powder burn quicker. Well, I saw some groups that you shot.
Yeah.
I saw that you shot out to 150 yards. And as I recall, with you sighting, you had about a 10-inch drop or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, with that kind of thing, you know, all you got to do is kind of just, well, if it's 150 yards out there, you know, you're going to want to hold just a little right about the top of his back.
Yeah.
Just, you know, at the most a hair over. And, with the depth of those muted and the size of them, you're going to put it right into the violence.
That's what, you know, I've thought about that. I do have time to shoot some more. I shot it. It was really very close at 100. You looked at that group that I sent you. But, I mean, it was a good group, you know, at 100. But I did some adjusting, had to drift it over to the left, and I wanted about an inch, and actually almost 2 inches high is where I wound up. And then I moved out to 150. But it fell right where I thought it would, and I was, by that time, it was getting time for you and I to visit here on the radio. So I just shot that one time. It fell 10 inches low with a zero of about 2 inches high at 100. It dropped 10 inches. So you're right, Larry, on a mule deer, just a tad below the top of the back at 150. And that's honestly, now I know that you can put 150 grains in a muzzle loader, and they can become a 200-yard gun, but I'm just not there. I'm not. I mean, I know that it can be done, but I'm going to take a shot within 150 yards. And with that, I feel real comfortable. You know, I do.
Yeah. You know, years ago when I did a lot more muzzleloading, I did a lot of stuff when I was with the Conference Center with using the Encore and to the Omega and a bunch of others that they had out at that time that came out with when I was with them. And with those guns, we were shooting, starting off at 100 grains, and we went to 150 grains. And it truly did turn those muzzleloaders with a 250 grain SST Hornady that was Sabo bullet that we were using, and it truly turned those rifles into 200-yard guns. I shot numerous hogs, particularly with that particular combination. Shot a few antelope and of course mule deer and some whitetails as well.
Exactly. Yeah, that I guess most of us here in Texas call them Sabo. I guess is the correct pronunciation. Sabots. You've heard us fellow Texans call them Sabots. But that's what I'm shooting, Larry. And one thing about a Sabo bullet sleeved. Here's something I learned a long time ago. You better have a dry barrel when you shoot that thing. Otherwise, you cannot hit a house at 100 yards. Am I right?
You know, we put all kinds of different conditions, including freezing the barrel. They load the gun up, freeze the gun, put it in the freezer, and then bring it out. And immediately, you know, then as soon as you got any kind of condensation, which can happen. So, I mean, we learned kind of what you're saying is years ago, Tony Knight would tell me, so Larry said, we're going to go hunt with Tony up on the late muzzleloader season. And he'd go, we're going to leave the guns in the truck tonight rather than taking them in the house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a part of all that was is that so you had the same conditions that you were shooting under, you know, out in the field, you were prepared for them. And so that was one of the reasons that we did that. Of course, I can, too. I always put a dead gun, take some electrician tape. And Tony used to have some little black, what he called his little black condoms that he used to put on there.
Yep.
I think they were selling those for a while. And that was to keep the moisture out of the barrel as well, too. Wasn't so much. We'd take those guns and submerge them in water, and they would not take, you know, the loads would not, nothing would happen to them. But, again, you'd end up with moisture in the barrel, and some barrels particularly didn't care for that.
Yeah, and condensation, if you bring them in the house, I always leave them out in the truck at night when I'm muzzleloader hunting. But on those Sabos, the sleeve, I it's kind of a funny story, but I was selling a muzzleloader. I had some extra muzzleloaders, and so buddy wanted one. I made him a real good deal, and I said he didn't know much about muzzleloaders. And I said, let me show you how good it shoots. I was shooting a Sabo in it, and we went out there about wasn't far, 50 yards, and set up a target. And I that's when I first started shooting Sabos. I used to shoot those conicals, you know.
Right.
And I loaded up. And I had the barrel a little bit slick with a little bit of coating of oil on there. I didn't realize it, but I did. And you cannot, with that sleeve that the Sabo fits in, I mean, that the bullet fits in, you can't, literally, we couldn't hit a 5-gallon bucket at 50 yards. And
oh
I'm out goodness. There, I've been bragging, and it was a good shooting rifle. And I shot, bam, and it didn't even hit the target. And about a 14-inch square board right. that the target was right. on. He looked at me. I said, "Buddy, I don't know what's wrong." And I said, "The scope must be off." And I loaded up again. I said, "Well, let's do it again." And that slick barrel, folks, if you're shooting sabots in a muzzle loader, run a dry patch through that rascal. Do
always.
Not.
Yes,
don't. Always. You don't want it slick. Well, Larry, antelope out there, man, I know that's going to be do you know what county that you'll be yet?
I think I'm not even sure for certain. I am meeting Greg and I post a marathon, and I can't remember which county that is out there that we're hunting in. Good gosh, I should know all those counties. I
yeah,
can't even
yeah.
think of it right now.
Yep.
But this is a place that they've reintroduced antelope onto several years ago through the Texas Parks and Wildlife Department, and I think it's the first time in 9 years that it's had any kind of hunting on it at all. So I'm hoping I'll be able to get a bunch of real good pictures and get pretty close, which to me that's part of the fun anyway.
Oh, it is, Larry.
They've got such great eyesight, but if you can crawl into within 100, 125 yards of those, then, you know, you've really accomplished something.
You have.
Really anxious. It's been years since I've shot an antelope. I used to hunt quite a bit in New Mexico, and I'm hunting in Colorado and Wyoming. But now I think I want to say it's probably been about 10, 12, 14 years, maybe even a little bit longer than that since I've hunted. And one of the things that really made me want to hunt them again is I was up at Zumbo's this summer, and Zumbo prepared some steaks out of the hindquarter out of a pronghorn that he had shot. And I'll tell you, that was as good eating as I've ever had. I mean,
you told me
I'd
eat
pronghorn before, and it was kind of, it was tasty, but tasty and kind of in a negative manner. But Jim was telling me exactly what he did and how he prepared them. And I'll tell you what, they were as good a meat as I've ever put in my mouth.
That's what you told me, man. I like
happened.
It. Yeah.
You know, I said, when I talked to Greg, he said, you know, we're talking about hunts, and he said, well, he said, I've got an opening on one of the antelope hunts if you're interested. And I said, oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah. So,
heck yeah.
Can't wait to get out there.
Get you one. And, well, Larry, they're telling we're out of time already. The Dallas Safari Club, we mention them every week, for years, but biggame.org, folks, you can go there and you'll learn a lot about it on their website, won't they, Larry? www.biggame.org, right?
You're right. And then right now is a great time. If you hadn't already booked a room for the convention that's coming up in January, to do so. I hope everybody will. I know you're going to be out there some this year, too. So, you know, with them around our little old campfire there somewhere.
Going to be fun. Larry, good luck on your hunt.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
Folks, I always enjoy getting Larry Wysoon with me. Larry is a great friend, and we have a chance to get together as often as possible, usually a few times a year, and actually get out and get around a real campfire and hunt and fish together, you know. Larry was up in this part of the world here about a month ago, 6 weeks ago. I know you probably read some of my newspaper articles that I wrote about the outing. We had a lot of fun down at Lake Fork fishing. Speaking of fishing, folks, Lake Fork, you can catch all the channel catfish you want over baited holes with cheese bait right now. Close to bottom, water 18 to 22 foot deep. Tewakini, the big blue catfish bite is on fresh caught shad, one of the best baits you can get. Tony Pennybaker down there at Tewakini has been posting pictures on Facebook of some big catches of some big old blue catfish. So you don't have to wait till the dead of winter to catch them. Folks, we're out of time. Make sure and tune in next week. Contact me through catfishradio.org. See you next week, folks. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Folks, today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Sightmark, Texas Raised Hunting Products, Pyramid Air, Striper Express, Trapper Tackle, and Hunter Supply.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.